everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Marketing Corner. Well, this is episode 63, and we're moving upwards. And today we're going to be talking about something that a lot of us struggles with, and yet something we always have to spend time on. Hashtag budgets.
Budgets.
Budget talk. So the topic is kind of managing budgets. And I think we both have done that through our marketing careers. And like, we definitely have done that. We still do that. So I think I'll kick it off to you first, Jen, just to get us started. So let's start there. But how do you manage your budget today with your team and everything?
Very, very loosely. No, just do whatever you want.
We just have
guys.
A blank check and then we spend
money. Everyone
gets
their own card. You just go.
All this VC funding.
Yeah,
all
we're
this,
funded,
like,
baby.
Yeah, cash burn. What
we
the fuck is that?
We have no responsibilities whatsoever to any board or investor. No.
No,
I'm a. This will come as a shock to everyone, including you. I'm very structured about this.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise anyone.
So I have my monthly budget.
Yes.
And I have separated out into different buckets of what we want to spend. I decided on these kind of percentages of what would go in what bucket based on historical data, based on our company objectives and what we're trying to achieve. So do I share those now? Or
Feel free.
Yeah. So first and foremost, demand gen and capture.
Yes.
We kind of put in one bucket, and that's 40% of the overall budget.
So you put those in one bucket. Do you split them afterwards? Or
I do, but my demand gen team asked me to stop because it was a little too granular.
Okay.
But the channels tend to be a little bit the same.
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that?
No, but that's
well,
okay.
Depends on what you channel. So I have like paid social and paid search in that bucket.
Okay, but they're very different, right?
Are they?
Moving on. No, I think they're very different, right? Like,
are
they? Yeah, for me, paid search is the epitome of demand capture, and paid social is typically the epitome of demand gen.
Yeah, but I have a demand gen and capture budget.
Yeah, I get
together.
It. But they serve very different purposes. I think that's my point.
Yeah, they're upper funnel, lower funnel, but
yeah, exactly.
The same team manage them.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a demand gen team, so they manage. So it's organized from a perspective of the team running it.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
So the demand gen team are in charge of 40% of the budget, and they decide the best way to use it.
Okay.
And then within their
I think it's fine.
And they separate that out, but I just
think like it's very different disciplines. Like, I think that's my main take. It's like demand capture, especially like paid search here, is like that's different.
Mm.
Like, it's not the same. Like, it's technically very different from doing paid social, at least in my world.
I mean, I did both.
I did both as well. I did Tempify. Don't get
you know,
me wrong.
It's the same person, but
I've learned that maybe I shouldn't have done both.
Mm. Let me talk about the other buckets to kind of explain it, because then we also have brand awareness.
Yes.
And that to me is a different bucket. So if we have the onion graph that I've talked about before, the outer layer is brand awareness, and that I have 30% of my overall budget, and that is PR, paid media ops, sort of more fluffy, I would say.
That I would have called thought leadership in my world. But that's
what is this episode about, Kevin? Is this you just
No, but I think it's great. Like, this is great. Like, I didn't know we had this the different definitions here.
So well, I'm putting thought leadership in it is in brand awareness, but it's also a little demand gen.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing about this.
Mm.
And I think that's why it's interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because everything meshes together. What the fuck is what?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, right? Like,
yeah.
It's all just marketing.
It's all just marketing, but stuff costs different things.
Yes.
And stuff is different attributable. Because the other thing to remember is when we calculate our CAC, it's only based on demand gen spend.
Gotcha.
It is not based on brand awareness or organic or anything like that. So from a budgeting perspective with the wider company, it makes it easier for us in calculating the CAC when we have one chunk of the budget together, which is responsible for the direct MRR.
Yes.
Okay. So, so PR and things like that, that is maybe not necessarily attributable, but brand awareness goes into that brand awareness. And that I would also put organic social in there, but there's no cost usually associated to that. So there's not a cost associated. Then I have 5% of our budget to events, both owned and sponsored.
Okay.
So, and that includes travel, organization, and all of that.
Yeah.
Then we have tools. So we have like our Adobe licenses, website tools, all of that good stuff, CRM, sales enablement, Wistia, other video platforms are available.
Yeah.
That's 5% of our budget. Then I have a training and development budget of 5%. So if people want to go on courses or they want to get some kind of certification, we make sure we have money for that. Then experiments. So 10% of my budget is for experiments. And these can be in the paid bucket. but it's a new channel or it's a new format or, you know, YouTube advertising or something that we haven't done before. We put 10% of our budget aside each month to try something new.
Okay.
And then that leaves us a contingency buffer of 5% for those things that we weren't seeing coming.
What about, question. So what about freelancers, agencies as myself or stuff like that? Where do you put that stuff?
That would be...
If you ever use it.
Yeah, yeah. So when we had a SEO agency, that would be in the demand gen budget.
Okay.
But freelance content writers... that would probably be demand gen too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be in the demand.
So you put it under the buckets of where the freelancer or agency or whatever belongs to.
So if my demand gen manager, shout out to Tice, wants to hire a freelancer for something, I say, do you have it in your budget?
Yeah.
And he'll say, yes, I do. And I say, then go ahead. And then he has more autonomy to decide how he spends that money.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool shit.
How about you?
Well,
and this will pick apart all your definitions.
No, go ahead, crazy. Like this is great. No, but I think it's very similar, but like it's not. It's kind of funny because like at SparkForce, it's not that sophisticated yet. Like for us, it's just hey, here's marketing. Because we're small. Like,
but you have the agency perspective. I have the in-house perspective.
Exactly, so. And I think that's one thing I wanted to like also convey today, to talk about how that has changed. Because when I was at United FinTech and when I was at Templify, it was like that.
Mm.
And the reason I'm questioning this stuff is because our definitions were different, but it's the same principle.
Mm.
The principles were the same.
Yeah.
Like whatever you call the buckets, brackets, doesn't really matter, but you bucketed stuff.
Yeah, you bucketed.
It was like, and we had like, hey, paid search, that was like one bucket. I had paid social, there was another bucket, for instance. But that was also before demand capture was really a thing. And stuff. Mm. So, potato,
we had,
whatever.
Yeah, branding, and we had lead gen.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we have demand gen, lead gen.
It's all branding. The same, just different categories.
Yeah.
What are, in Danish, we say new wine on old bottles.
Yes.
Right? So, yes. I'm not too concerned with that. I think the important part is bucketing the stuff.
Yes.
I think that's the takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that you at least think about, okay, the allocation should match what our focus is strategically.
Yes.
And so for clients today, when we go and work with them, I give them like a say, hey, these are the pillars I think we should be focusing on. And then I give a weight and say like, this should be approximately 50% of your budget. This should be approximately 30. This should be approximately 20. And then I kind of scale it out and then we can allocate accordingly afterwards. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that exercise is the same you do. You
like
just call it slightly different. Right.
We had one gray area that came up and I would be interested to see what you do when we talk about webinars.
Yes.
Because webinars are technically an event, a virtual event, but we put paid money into with paid social and things like that to make sure we promote it. So I actually move that into the demand gen bucket.
I would 100% put it in demand gen.
Okay.
That is not even like, unless it's like some sort of big virtual event. Like if you, for instance, the one you're talking about tomorrow, Sassius, where it's like an event.
Yeah.
When it's just a webinar with a few hundred or whatever signups, 100%
demand gen.
Yeah, definitely do that.
Cool.
Because there was also the ones they own the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I think it's a lot about ownership too. Like you put it where the ones own it.
Yeah, and that was the important part for me was to make sure that whoever owns it has the autonomy so they don't need to approve everything by me. They just own this budget. They look at it and they say, I have $3,000 left and I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And let's see if it works. And if it works, then that becomes part of your budget. And that's something we do moving forward. Yeah.
Exactly. So how do you, do you negotiate budgets with your CFO or how does it work for you?
Yes.
That's how I did it back in the day. So,
So what we're doing now is actually, so we have a meeting every month where we go into the budget and we have sales, we have RevOps, we have CS, everyone's in the same room, but my budget is the highest.
Yeah.
Winning, but that also means more expectations.
Okay, not winning so much.
Winning a little bit less. But yeah, I have check-ins with the CFO where we talk about this is kind of the ROI and this is what we've seen. And I think that's also an interesting challenge because so much of our stuff is long tail.
Yes.
Right? So I can point to something and go, this month we spent this, but we're not going to see the return on that for maybe 1 to 6 months if it was a direct mail campaign, for example.
Yeah.
So we have to have a little bit of trust, historical data, looking at conversion rates, and guessing.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we're doing now is he's given us an extra 25% in our budget towards
Amazing.
Lead gen to see if that ticks things
shifts
up, shifts anything, and then if it does, then we get more money. And
so
we have to prove it. Yeah.
Can I buy him?
Or no. We like you, Nikolai.
No, but I think that's cool. And that's always I don't want to go too much into this whole metric talk and how to convince your CFO. I think that's a different episode. We talked about it a bunch of times before, but that's always the dance you have to balance, right?
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk about today is and maybe that's a little bit inwards looking, but
it's very different to be a CEO, owner of a company, and to do budgets now than when I did budgets on the inside.
Yep.
Because one of the things I do now is like, and to be honest, like when I was at, you know, FinTech or Templify and such, don't get me wrong, I cared how the business was doing. But you were, at the end of the day, you were giving a frame.
Yeah.
Like, here's how much you can spend.
Don't spend more than this.
Don't spend more than this.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll stick within this frame.
Yeah.
And then you can negotiate, blah, 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 all that stuff. But that was how it was. These days, I'm like, here's cash flow. Okay, so we have this much cash coming in. And then my budget, so, like, I don't just have a marketing budget. I have a budget for, like, salaries, like all the salaries across
the board. You gotta keep the lights
on. Have rent, have all the tools we use, have whatever, lunch deals, have pension deals, all this jazz, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly I have to manage all of that. And one thing, it's funny, like, I've never looked at cash flow before, honestly, no hard feelings, but I've never looked at cash flow before when I was all the other companies, like, you know, money was just there.
It was just there.
And it's like, I think that's been really healthy to experience.
That's actually something I put in my development review. So we do development reviews every 6 months. And I said, I need to get better at business metrics. I need to understand burn rate better. I need to understand cash flow better. I need to understand the wider business metrics so I can appreciate the impact that I can have.
Exactly.
And not, like, a lot of people in our your old position and my position have ever had to do that. So I think it's important for all marketers to understand.
Honestly, it's not like I'm not blaming anyone. If I had never gone down this road, I've never have done it, right?
Yeah.
Most likely or something. But it's really different. Like, stuff, like, it's a funny thing I mentioned before we started recording is, like, I've never looked at VAT before.
Yeah.
I never cared about VAT. It was just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's like, but you get VAT and then we can subtract that because we're buying this other stuff. So we got to have this much capital left to pay VAT. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
like, all this stuff I didn't care about before, but now it's like, it actually, it's a thing.
Yeah. And that's one of the tips I think that I've heard other people say is, when you run a marketing team, act like you're the CEO of, the marketing team was your company, you are the CEO of that company. So everything you spend, you want to make sure that you're going to get something at the other end. Which is something that I try to do, but then I just get so, like, caught up with everything I have to do that I'm just like, buy the freelancer, get the agency, like, let's just get shit done.
Yeah.
But you also, I think, if you, as you get higher in the kind of organizational structure, it is important to understand the wider business impact, because the other thing 100%. That will have is, when your team are saying we want raises, when people are saying we want more offsites, when your team are saying we want new computers or whatever that is, you can have a better understanding of, if I get this, then I'm not going to get that.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe if you don't have that, you don't have a reason to say no, or you don't have the case to put it into perspective.
No, 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think, that was a burp. I'm sorry, for recording purposes. I'm drinking Coke, you know, it gives me weird stuff. Anyways, though, but I've never, it's kind of, like, that is, It's very different on the other side, in that sense. It's like, there's a lot of things to keep track of. I do this, like, I do this cash flow predictions. Like, I've never done, like, I've done not cash flow, but other types of predictions. But now I do cash flow predictions based on pipeline stuff. It's super healthy, right?
Yeah.
Like, I always did pipeline reviews when I was internal in marketing, but I never do cash flow.
Because
technically, I only care about closing a deal. I didn't care about when they paid.
Yeah.
Now I care a lot about when they pay.
Of course, that
really dictates a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's very different, at least for me. So.
That's interesting. Yeah. And that's, I think that's something that's very healthy. And the marketers out there understand pipeline, understand cash flow. It's going to make you much more valuable and help make your decisions. Do you have the same issue that we have where... maybe it's a little bit different from an agency perspective, but like I said, if you have a 48-month sales cycle, it's kind of hard to justify, you know, if we spend a lot of money to win an enterprise deal, I can't turn around the next month and say this was worth it.
No.
Do you guys have the same thing from an agency side, or is it more
immediate? Yes and no. Like, one of the things, like, so it's kind of like we've done our own marketing since the very beginning, but now, like, in the beginning, to be honest, like, cash flow, right? Like, we can't do marketing unless we have cash.
Yeah.
So I wanted to scale the people before we started really hammering on our own. And, like, October is really the first month where we really start spending. Like, we spend more than some of our clients are spending.
Right.
Which is, you know, quite substantial in this case. So we really push the button now.
And you have no investment. This is all
spending. This is all bootstrap. This is all my money.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know. Yeah, my money.
Yeah.
So no investment, no. It's all bootstrapped. And, which is, you know, kind of cool. But... So, but back to your question, it's a referral business, and it's so different. And I think that's very important. Like in a SaaS business, you get like people sign up through the website because they're used to signing up for a demo for a product.
Right.
Here, when we do advertising, we do all these cool things, get people to the website. Do you not want to know how they sign up? They write to me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how many ads I throw in their faces, yes, they sometimes we do get signed up on the website, but compared to what I get on my LinkedIn, it's like completely, people write to me on my LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And that's how they sign up, because it's a referral business.
Mm.
So that's different. And speaking of attribution and such, it's like, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to know, because that goes for all consultancies and such. That doesn't mean at all that it doesn't work. Trust me, like, I can feel that it works.
Mm-hmm.
When we put it on and when we activated it, like, it went up by far. And, like, this stuff works. And people come to us and, hey, we see you guys all the time. Every time I open LinkedIn, you're there.
Yeah.
Super annoying. Awesome. Whatever, right? So can you do the same for us? Yes, mm-hmm. Of course.
And so how often do you check your budget?
Well, I check my cash flow, like, multiple times a week.
Yeah.
I'm not, this is going to sound like a joke. I check my bank account every morning.
Mm.
Like SparkForce's bank account.
Yeah.
Because you know what you have to check? If clients have paid.
Yes.
Have they paid or not? If they haven't, you need to send them reminders and you need to, like, all this stuff, because you need to pay salaries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think one of the best tips, and this is like goes a little bit beyond the scope of today, but let's just do it, is I actually set up so clients pay forthcoming. So that means, like, so when we start, like, say, when we come to October, in a normal case, you'd be like, hey, after the work was done, then you would say, send a bill or something. But I actually send the bill the 1st of October for October's month.
Right.
And then they have a set amount of days to pay that. And that was one of the best tips and advice I ever got.
Because,
like, what always happens, and again, it's one of those things where, like, you, as a marketing leader, I didn't give a shit before. Like, who cares?
Yeah, they don't pay on time. It's not my problem.
It's not my problem, like. Go ask the VC for more money. I'm joking. That's not the case. But
that doesn't work.
Doesn't work. No, but the point is, like, it's not never something I care about. This is something I care about a lot now, right?
Yeah. And it's your money.
It's because it's my money, right? Mm-hmm. And this matters so much. Like, we had a client who's not like a bad client at all. They're really good. But the guy who we sent it to, he missed the deadline a little bit. Then he went on vacation, so he couldn't send it. Then when he got back from vacation, finance had gone on vacation. That means suddenly the paying from, let's say, it was the 1st of October, it was delayed almost 2 months.
Mm-mm.
And I always keep saying, like, imagine if that was all the clients. By coincidence, the same month.
Yeah.
Then you're screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a big part of doing this is also building a buffer.
Mm.
And one of the things I worry a lot about is, like, balancing, building a buffer at the same time, scaling really hard.
Really hard.
Really, really hard, right? Yeah. And that's an interesting balancing act. And I remember I had someone who were like, hey, why can't you give us this many days to pay? Like, they wanted a long time. And I was like, I explained the whole thing. Like, if you guys pay this late and you're delayed for whatever fucking reason, it might take at least 2 months to get my payment. I'm sorry, but that just doesn't work for me.
I have people I have to pay.
Yeah, exactly. So that stuff, I care a lot about that stuff.
Mm.
I look at that stuff almost every day. Yeah. I literally did my cash flow update today. So.
Yeah, we have obviously slightly different, but we just have I have a Google Sheet where I just make sure that all the costs, you know, at the end of the stuff I know is coming out, but also, you know, my demand gen budget goes in there. So, you know, one person owns that. I take care of the brand awareness and everything kind of gets mapped out. And then we also have a surplus because we do, for our events, we have like our annual summit. And that is a huge chunk of change.
Yeah.
So that's why we set aside 5% of the budget. We spend a little bit of it, but there's always going to be a little bit of surplus because when that event happens, that's one full month of budget for one go.
Because
we invite people to come in and we pay for their tickets and we pay for their flights and they pay for their accommodation.
It's a big thing.
We go all out
because
it works. We get our best customers together with our top priority strategic accounts.
Yeah.
And we have speakers from Microsoft and AWS and like all these people in. So it's important that we have that buffer and make sure that, okay, we save that chunk and it's earmarked.
It's always good to have a buffer.
Yeah, always have a buffer.
And I think it's also one of the things also, like, just a tip. Like, I remember in our early Templify days when we did budgeting, we would split out almost evenly across the year, which was a huge mistake, actually. Because, like, that's not how your budget should work.
Yeah.
Like, as an example, in most B2B enterprise cases, summer's shit.
Like July, yeah, August.
I was just gonna ask you about some
July, especially
July in Denmark is.
July in Denmark is not worth a lot.
Yeah.
Like you can, like, don't get me wrong, you can cheat the system because, like, hey, but everybody else is not spending. That's true, but you also have to remember that one thing I realize is that people are not in the buying mode either.
Yeah.
So they're really checked out. So they
and
might.
And what we also have, sorry, is, yeah, especially in Denmark, July is like the holiday month, so we'll have like no salespeople.
Yeah. Because
they're on vacation.
And that's also the thing. Like, so no matter, like, sometimes I'll be like, yeah, but it's so cheap to do advertising. Yeah, but we have no one to take the call.
Yeah,
like,
no one
we can't
take the
do
call.
It. Like, yeah. Like, you can turn it up by a million, but we can't do it.
Yeah.
So figuring out when the seasonality hits, and there's always seasonality, like, to some extent. And sometimes it's just internal seasonality, but you have to account for that in your budget too.
And one of the questions I get asked a lot, particularly from kind of finance and things like that, is they want to see what campaigns we're going to run for the year. And
that
is such a difficult answer because we have our evergreen, we know how much we're going to spend.
Here's my response to that. So I actually, I divide it into three categories. And I have three categories. I have always on, I have account-based marketing, and I have campaigns.
Yeah.
And so whenever finance asks me stuff like that, I'm like, okay, I'm going to dedicate 60% of my budget to always on. That means the stuff I am never turning on. So you can look at this whole budget and 60% of that I'm never turning on. Turning off. You can take 20% of it. That's for account-based marketing. That doesn't have to be for everyone. Like, not everyone needs to do ABM. But this was how I did it at United Fintech and Templify. It was very similar in that case. So that's for ABM. That's technically also never turned off, but it's a little bit more seasonality driven because there's like a little bit more campaigns and stuff, a little bit weirder. And then you have campaigns, and those comes in junctions, like ups and downs and stuff. But I always said to them, I was like, the point is to find in campaigns the stuff that goes into always on.
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of what I was trying to get to is like we have their our we call them evergreen. They're always on.
Same.
They're always running.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us to scope what campaigns will be running because we need to know what products are coming out. We need to know what's happening.
I can't say that.
Yeah, so I can say we'll do four big ones. We'll do one a quarter, but I don't know what those will be a year in advance.
It's the same with the people who ask for these like year wheels.
Yeah.
Oh God, I hate those. Ugh.
We're trying.
You can go on record and quote Casper for saying I fucking hate those. Like, it's like, who the fuck does that? Like, why? Like, yes, I understand why you try to do that, but can you ever really say that you had a year wheel and it was spot on for the rest of the year?
Especially when there's so many different factors. Like, we just covered product launches. If there's a product launch.
In the companies we are in, like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
like, maybe it makes sense in a big corporate. I don't think so. I truly believe it's bullshit. But fair enough. Maybe it does. But at least for the companies that you and I have worked in, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And I get asked that all the time. What campaigns are you planning to run? Well, what products are we planning to launch?
Yes.
What's going to happen?
Who are you planning to sell to? Like, these companies. Okay, who are you selling to? We're trying to sell to. Can you tell me exactly who you're going to sell to?
Yeah.
No? Okay, cool. Then I can't tell you what campaigns I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. So it's a balance. You know?
Yeah. It's a stupid question.
Yeah.
Like, no hard feelings, people who ask that question, but it's not that good.
So that's answer to that one.
Yeah. Manage your budgets. I think one of the key takeaways that you said it, I said it, bucket your items.
Yeah.
Like, bucket and, like, think... At least for me, it's always been purpose, like purpose bucket. Like, so you said it like yourself, demand gen, demand capture, brand awareness, thought leadership, whatever you call it, bucket those in. Because then it's a lot easier to manage and like grasp.
Yeah.
And I think you're right in saying like once you have those buckets, you can also place owners of these buckets. And that's a lot easier to work with.
And then that also helps you calculate CAC.
Yes, absolutely.
And one of the things I've had in other companies, which I didn't like, is that CAC is everything you do.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I like about here. What we do now is it's only direct MRR that you can point to and say, this generated that. That is our CAC. And that's how we set up our budget with demand gen and demand capture together. Yes, the disciplines are different and within those we spend differently. But to have that kind of bucket so that we say, this is what the CAC is.
There are some things that are really hard. At least I always felt like. Like, for instance, like we did a lot of link building. Like SEO link building.
And there's a cost to that. So I would put that in probably demand gen.
Exactly. But it's also, you know, it's ranking. How the fuck, like, you can measure a better ranking.
Exactly.
There's always these gray zones. And it also, PR is also, I feel like, always one of them. It's hard to attribute.
It's definitely
one of the hardest ones to attribute, right?
But it's expensive.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
And is it worth it? Yeah, we have another episode for that.
Yeah,
But that's also one of... So there will be things that are hard to prove. It is what it is.
Yeah. But just stay structured.
Yeah.
have your buckets, know that the buckets are not etched in stone.
Yeah.
So if something needs a little bit more, just look where you have wiggle room, and we still have to meet as a team sometimes. We go, well, that can come out of here, or hey, we want to do this thing, but we're kind of over budget. Can we borrow budget from here?
Yeah.
See if this works, and that's also why we have the experiments budget.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
We didn't have a bucket for that. We were kind of just responsible for that, like Templify ourselves, I remember. But one of the things I want to also advocate for, like diversification. Like, I think it's really important, like especially when you come to channel mix and stuff.
Yeah.
So sometimes like people just like, okay, we have new year, new budget. Let's just put double the money and all this stuff. Sometimes it's good to allocate small amounts to small other things that like you haven't tested or want to test out or something like that.
Yeah,
that
and really having works. An experiment budget takes the pressure off of the stuff you know is working.
Smart.
It gives you a little bit more wiggle room to try, because if you lose it, it was an experiment. Cool. Well, good luck with your bad budgets, kids.
Yes, good luck. And good luck in Q4.
Yeah, good luck in Q4. Here we go.
Here we go.
See you
guys.
Bye.
Cool. Good shit.
I'm questioning my definitions.